you believe. Assault is an act, not an adjective. Your safety is not just on the gun, it is the gun. Freedom is a fundamental human right. Welcome to your show, Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. What do you believe? Your safety is your responsibility, not the government's, not anybody else's. Be a citizen, not a subject. Better yet, be a listener, because it's an inalienable right, not a privilege. The Two-Way Radio Show with Bill Carnes is live right now. Call 1-800-313-9443. Welcome to the show, everybody. Monday, March 30th, 2009. I appreciate everybody tuning in. It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you. Lots of stuff having gone on in the last week or so when it comes to guns, guns rights, things around the states. As a matter of fact, it's interesting. As much as I do preparation for this show, if I were to do a daily show of about 3 hours, I could probably hit everything that really needs to get hit, maybe even 4 hours a day, when it comes to everything that's going on within the country and around every state. And on top of that, talking about gun selection, training, ammunition, things such as that, that would literally be about a four-hour daily show. There's just so much out there. So I'm going to get to the highlights and then share a few things with you. For starters, want to remind everybody who is able to listen on the radio, that's great. If not, online at republicbroadcasting.org. You can always tune in live there and get streaming audio, as well as go into finding the archives. The archives for 2A Radio should be available within a few days or so. I was just speaking with the folks at the network, and within a few days we should be able to have 2A Radio archives on there. Tell your friends and family. By the way, if you'd like to spread the word about Republic Broadcasting, you can order up 100 business cards. They're just generic, but they give all the Republic Broadcasting information. It's $8. You get 100 cards and a bumper sticker, and order that. You can call 800-724-2719. That's Monday through Friday, 9 to 6 Central Time business hours. All right. So let's get into it just a little bit. I spent a couple of days over this past week with a fellow by the name of Chuck Taylor. Chuck Taylor is one of the premier names in the firearms training industry and has been for quite some time. Back in 1981, 82, Chuck sat down with a group of his high-end instructors, and they came up with a quantification on what defines a handgun master. Because there was many, many people out there in the industry calling themselves handgun master or master of the handgun, such as that. So they decided to define a master through that set of a skills test, who can actually be the master of a gun. They came up with an 80-round test called the Handgun Combat Master's Test. If you pass it at 90% or better, you become certified as a handgun combat master. And it's a very difficult test. I've been exposed to this training level for about 4 years, 4 or 5 years. I've trained personally four different people who have actually passed this test. I am in the hunt, really close, but haven't passed it yet. And I took the test 4 times this last week, twice a day for 2 different days. With several other people. One guy actually did pass it. I'm not going to spill the beans on his names because he has a little bit of a plan on his announcement within his circle of influence, which is going to take a few days. So we'll get to that later. However, we're going to talk about the levels of training that it takes to get to this level and then go through some of the things that are going on around the country and hit some listener email. If you'd like to call into the show, it is 800-313-9443. And, of course, you can always send me comments at bill@2aradio.com. More after we return from the break.
Right to listen and take action shall not be infringed. 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes is back. 1-800-313-9443.
So last week we're shooting the Handgun Combat Masters course with Chuck Taylor. If you haven't ever heard of Chuck Taylor, you're just not much into guns. He writes articles. He's done all kinds of training for a long, long time. He was a captain in the Army, spent some time in Vietnam in combat, survived 14 different handgun fights in his life on top of other guns, but handguns specifically. So Chuck and his fellows developed the Handgun Combat Masters test, which was the defining, if you pass this, this is the defining test on whether or not you are good enough to call yourself a master of the handgun. It takes incredible speed and accuracy and gun handling. You've got to be able to shoot very fast, very accurate, and you've got to be able to keep your gun running in the face of malfunctions. Total of a 400-point test. It's 80 rounds at 5 points per round. And you can get dinged. If you don't hit the target where you're supposed to be, you can be down points. If it's even further out, it can be down even further. If you shoot late, you can be down. If you jump the gun, you're down. There's all types of penalties. You've really got a very, very narrow field of being able to operate. Now, shooting at 90% or better is where you need to be. My typical score is about 87, 88%. So I'm on the cusp, have not yet passed. As a matter of fact, I've passed it in practice many times, as well as most people do. But when you actually have a master standing there running the test to certify you, of course, there's a little bit more stress inoculation. So a buddy of mine did pass it again. We're going to hold off on that name, not to spoil his surprise. And he's got something working within his circle of training area. However, I got to tell you, it was a lot of fun going out there with a bunch of friends, folks that I have known within the industry for years, and shooting this test with a legend. And 43 people have actually passed this test since its inception. Again, I think it was in 1981. So better part of 30 years and 43 people have passed it. That's like one every 10 and a half months or so. That's how difficult this is. For instance, you actually start from arm's reach away, and you shoot back as far as 50 yards. And we're talking some pretty tight time frames. Even at 25 yards, you got to deliver two shots to the chest area. And let me see if I remember the time. 2.7 seconds at 25 yards. Everything else is much faster. There are shots that you do, you're shooting at human silhouette targets because it's combat-oriented. There's an area where you actually shoot for a hostage rescue shot. You have about a half of a head box, angular, from corner to corner. Now, that box is normally about 3 by 4 inches, 3 by 4.5 inches. Now, cut that in half with an angle, like you cut a sandwich corner to corner, and that is the size of the target, at 7 yards in 1.2 seconds. You have to do a lot of training to get up to this. I want to preface right now, with this information I'm giving you, if you have never trained up to this level, don't go out and try, because in all likelihood, you're going to do things that are unsafe and potentially blast a hole in your hand or your leg or something. Don't do that. You want to get training? Go get some training. And then get up to it. It took me probably 4 years with a gun before, maybe 5 years with a handgun, seriously training before I ever even attempted that. And it can be done quicker, but it's just a matter of where you want to focus. Keeping in mind that that is not a be-all, end-all, there's also tactics involved. Now, last week we had a couple of shows. I think Wednesday and Friday we talked about deciding on a gun, firearm selection, some training things and whatnot. So I want you to realize that training is really a mindset. You have to get behind it and dedicate yourself to it. Additionally, you have to decide what kind of guns that you want to have when you're going to be carrying, be it a handgun, shotgun, rifle, whatever it is, for home defense, for family defense, for personal defense. So you got to dedicate yourself to some training. Find yourself some good training out there. There's good training places all over the country. You don't necessarily have to travel very far. I have been doing training for many years, and not just myself, but actually training people. I've been regarded as a pretty good trainer out there, and one of the things that's interesting was when I was with Chuck Taylor this last week for a couple of days, Chuck remarked a couple of good things about some of the terminology and ways I was actually helping other folks out that were there shooting. And it was nice to hear, because that's coming from a guy who's really kind of the staple of the training industry right now. There's others that are out there that are excellent. Clint Smith at Thunder Ranch, fantastic guy. Clint and Heidi are wonderful, wonderful people. They have an excellent facility up in Lakeview, Oregon, and they have great training courses up there. So if you're in the Pacific Northwest, check them out. Of course, you've got Gunsight, which is in Arizona, in Paulden, Arizona, another great place. Chuck Taylor's located in that area. He's ChuckTaylorASAA.com. That's for American Small Arms Academy. I think Thunder Ranch is ThunderRanchInc.com. So anyhow, go out there, get yourself some training. Refer to the shows from last week about gun selection and training if you want to know a little bit more. Okay, on to a little bit of listener email. It got my attention. It says, Bill, I've got a serious problem with your show. So, of course, that grabs my attention, and he continues. I like to be at my business by a certain time, but I'm usually so engrossed in your show, I end up late. My problem, not yours. That was from Quince Edens. Quince has sent me a couple of emails, and thanks, Quince. I appreciate that quite a bit. It's good to have listeners this early, and we're just starting day one of week three. We've only got 10 shows under our belt on 2A Radio. So it's nice to be getting quite a bit of listener email. By the way, hi, Paula. That is my best listener, one of my very best friends in the world, his wife, Paula. I know that she's got to be listening. And if your husband, Ed, is not out in the field working, hopefully he's listening too, if not laying there sawing logs. Okay, Helena, Montana. We're going to back up for just a moment here. There's been some scuttlebutt of a letter that came out in Missouri that basically kind of outlined what a militia member would be, basically profiling a potential militia member. And it said that they would generally have bumper stickers of third-party candidates, and they named Ron Paul. Interesting, because Ron Paul is a Republican, part of the GOP, Grand Old Party, the longest surviving large party for hundreds of years in this country, yet he's considered a third-party candidate. So if you like Ron Paul, you could be initially profiled as a militia member. And it went on to go over many, many things, and it was not supposed to be for public information. It was supposed to be geared towards Missouri law enforcement. Now, Missouri is a very good, the Ozark state, is a very good pro-gun state, but there's been some very big anti-gun people out there. Now, in the Second Amendment, it says something about a militia, all right? So let me just open it up and read it to you. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So, the Second Amendment is part of the first 10 amendments, known as the Bill of Rights. Only individuals have rights. The government has powers, but the people have rights. So this is written for the people, a well-regulated militia. Now, some folks believe that that is the National Guard, which is totally false. The National Guard was created in, I think it was 1911, 1909, something like that. And this document was written back in the 1700s, so there was no National Guard. The National Guard is not regulated as a militia. It's a military. And the National Guard does exist, it is under the control of the government. Therefore, it is not a right. It is a power. So a militia, by definition, by understanding of exactly the way that this Constitution was written and what the Bill of Rights were meant for, is people. So who's to regulate this militia? It's unspoken. It certainly would not be a government entity, because the government doesn't have a right. The government has powers, and the governmental powers are not stipulated within the Bill of Rights when it comes to especially the Second Amendment. It says what the government cannot do. It doesn't say what they can do. Okay? And the government is certainly not going to regulate this militia. Now, you want to talk about militias, the typical thought of a militia, when you get it into your head, is you get a bunch of guys who are very, very conservative to the point of almost being extremist when it comes to conservative, strict interpretations of the Constitution, and they grab guns, and if the cops come for them, they're going to shoot it out with the cops, right? That's what most people think. That's not actually true, folks. Most folks, when it comes to any sort of militia mentality, are folks who are very right-wing, very specifically interpret the Constitution as it was meant to be written, as defined by the papers and other letters written by the Founding Fathers. So it's a strict interpretation, which is exactly what the Founding Fathers meant it to be. Of course, the folks who pass laws, enforce laws, and judge laws don't necessarily see it that way. For an instance of that, look at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Just unbelievable sorts of judgments that come out of that court. It's ridiculous. A couple of years ago, I think it was 15 out of 18 of the cases that were ruled on at the Ninth Circuit were overruled by the Supreme Court. Anyhow, these folks, they're not anti-government so much. They are pro themselves. They are pro their own liberties and don't really want to be quashed or overregulated or overtaxed or over-dictated to or overwatched, such as the Patriot Act, which violates I don't know how many parts of the Constitution. So they're just folks that don't want to have undue influence brought into them by the government. So we'll talk a little bit more about the idea of militia and this whole thing in Missouri after the break.
Irresponsible people have no business owning a gun or listening to this show. Two-Way Radio with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Okay, back to trying to define someone who might be considered a militia member. There's a lot of things out there that, a lot of laws out there that different folks have passed either at the national level up on Capitol Hill or at the state level, which restrict, bind. When it comes to rights and abilities, and really the life and your ability to live life and pursue happiness. And a lot of folks just don't care for that. Some of them actually get together. And when they do, a lot of them will actually grab guns and go out and train. Why? Because the Second Amendment is designed to keep us safe from the tyranny of the government. Now, we'll talk a little bit about the tyranny of the government. The government is really not controlled by the people that are voted in. Who gets people into office? Barack Obama was the junior senator from Illinois, and he'd served 4 years in the Senate, and now he's president. Came from absolutely nowhere. Didn't even start his political career until about 12 years ago, and now he's president. So do you think there's people behind Barack Obama that like his smooth demeanor and his ability to use a teleprompter and speak publicly to actually get up in front of this country and be a mouthpiece? Well, the answer is yes. So where does the real power come from? It's the same place real power comes from anywhere, and it's the people with the money. And right now it's the people with the money helping to create this recession that we've got. And they're really doing quite a good job at masking the whole thing, having Barack Obama parading around and all these different folks within Congress. Now, not all the folks in Congress are really part of this deal because they can be rather neutered by the president. They can be neutered by the courts. However, they flex their muscle and pass laws that basically spend a bunch of money, which is what the folks with the money really want to have to keep this economy fluid. With all that being said, they have their own interest in mind. And a lot of the folks who would be considered militia members are just simply good, solid, right-wing thinkers, such as myself and most of you out there listening, really don't want to have a bunch of excess government control or influence. They haven't been granted that in the Constitution, and a tremendous amount of the laws that they have passed, like the Patriot Act, are unconstitutional. The thing is, you got to have the judicial system to agree with that, which seems to be a difficult thing to get in a lot of courts. And to be able to get something to the Supreme Court, which generally has better rulings, I guess is the best classification I can come up with. They're better rulings. It takes years to get to that level. You have to go through several courts in order to get to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court has the option to not hear a case. You can submit one to them, and they can decide, no, we don't want to hear it, or, yeah, we'll hear it. And sometimes they just send instructions to the lower court, the Court of Appeals below them, to redefine a portion of their decision, which is what's been appealed to the Supreme Court. So it's very open-ended what the Supreme Court can do when it comes to listening. So these folks in Missouri were basically profiled, and it was given out to all the Missouri law enforcement. Of course, a lot of Missouri law enforcement, a lot of law enforcement in general, are not big pro-government, you know, let's be cops and go in there and take control of everybody and make it martial law. I was a cop. I was not that way. A very good friend of mine was a cop. As a matter of fact, he was a chief of police in a town down in the south, down in Arkansas. And he had a younger officer come in after a shift, and he was all happy that he had pulled a woman over. And during this stop, he found out that the woman had a gun in the car. It was legal to possess, legal to have. There was nothing illegal about it. He took it under the guise of, for quote-unquote, safekeeping. So then sent her off to work. Now, this is a single mother, as according to this younger officer's story, and he was giddy as hell about having taken the gun away from her. So my buddy looked at him and said, you know, you just disarmed a woman. She had the gun for self-defense, had every right in the world to have this gun. Matter of fact, let me read to you the Second Amendment, which he did, and tell him about the laws there in Arkansas, which he did. He said, so this safekeeping, it wasn't unsafe for her to have the gun, and the gun itself was not kept unsafe. You basically just took this gun and disarmed a poor woman. Now, what happens when she gets attacked on her way home later today and no longer has the gun to defend herself? So this young officer saw the light and, as reported by my friend who gave him this lecture, stopped that practice. A lot of cops don't think of it that way. A lot of people don't think of it that way. And we're going to talk a little bit about this when it comes to some of the legislation being introduced in California after the tragedy of four Oakland police officers being gunned down and killed by a felon just about 10 days ago. So we'll talk about that later in the show as well. Anyhow, to sum this whole thing up in Missouri, the Missouri State Police and the folks who put this together apologized to the quote-unquote third-party candidates for using them as part of the profiling of militia members, but yet did not apologize to the citizens of Missouri for putting this together. So, yet again, we see things like this, we speak up about this, and we get things done. So that's why 2A Radio exists, why I encourage you to listen to Republic Broadcasting, and why I also encourage you to listen to more thoughts on this with the Dave Champion Show, which is 3 o'clock Central Monday through Friday. As a matter of fact, I'll be sitting in for Dave later today talking about events other than just firearms and Second Amendment at 3 o'clock Central today. So we're going to go on with some of the laws going on around the country and what's happening after the break.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Rule one, assume it's loaded. Rule two, don't point it at anything you're not willing to destroy. Rule three, listen to the 2A Radio Show with Bill Carnes. 1-800-313-9443.
Welcome back. Now, you've heard me pipe off about Attorney General Eric Holder, as anti-gun and anti-rights as a person can get. So I'm going to play just a couple of bits here about Eric Holder, some of the things he said, some of the reports on him. This is put together by Gun Owners of America, and they're talking about Eric Holder.
It's hard to imagine an attorney general who would be more hostile to the Second Amendment than Eric Holder. Holder served as deputy attorney general from 1997 to 2001. He supported a three-day waiting period for handgun purchases licensing and registration of all gun owners, and using the force of government to drive the firearms industry into bankruptcy through a series of frivolous lawsuits. He also recently signed a brief before the Supreme Court arguing in favor of the D.C. gun ban, a brief that also argued that the Second Amendment does not protect an individual's right to own a gun.
Now, can you imagine that? The Second Amendment does not protect an individual's right to own a gun, is what Eric Holder wants to believe. Now, this after a Supreme Court ruling came out to the contrary. And, as you've heard right here, of course, the Second Amendment is part of the first 10, known as the Bill of Rights, which is all about having an individual's rights that cannot be basically restricted or screwed with by the government in any way. So now our Attorney General, who's the chief, referred to as the chief law enforcement personnel of the country, saying that, yeah, he doesn't believe that. He doesn't want to listen to what the court has to say. So the interesting thing is the court can make rulings, but it doesn't have much in the way of the ability to legally enforce what it has to say. So if you actually read D.C. versus Heller, it says that open carry is legal within this country. Carrying a loaded gun open, non-concealed, is legal throughout the United States and her territories, period, is what you will read in D.C. versus Heller. Now, how many states there's only seven states that allow that in any area. I happen to live in one, in Nevada. Arizona's also one. Alaska is yet another one. They have a difficult time enforcing what their decisions are. So now we have Eric Holder that is in no way, shape, or form going to have that. Now, here is Holder in a Senate confirmation hearing. This is part of his testimony. See, number two.
And I understand President-elect Obama does have an opinion on assault weapons, quote, assault weapons. Can you tell me what your plans are and how you view that and whether or not you think that ban ought to be reinstituted?
Yeah, I think you'd asked me earlier about the regulations that I thought might still exist post-Heller. And I'd mentioned, I think, closing the gun show loophole, the banning of cop killer bullets. And I also think that the making the assault weapons ban permanent would be something that would be permitted under Heller, and I also think would be good from a law enforcement perspective.
Now, let's talk a little bit about this whole cop killer bullet phenomenon. There is no such thing as a cop killer bullet. I defy anyone to go out and find a bullet labeled cop killer. Okay? The only cop killer bullets I know of were in a rap song that was by Ice-T called Cop Killer, talking about the bullets to kill the cops. If you're talking about things like hollow points, well, I got to tell you, I used to be a cop. I've worn a vest. I've shot at vests for ballistic tests. And there is really no way for a hollow point to go through a vest. If anything, it would be ball ammo, which is what they want to restrict us to. And quite honestly, that doesn't have enough energy out of a handgun to go through anything. So this cop killer bullet phenomenon is nuts. They're talking about assault weapons, right? Now, generally, you would think AK-47, AR-15, things such as that. These quote-unquote assault weapons are used by the military. They are not inherently very powerful rifles. Reason is that powerful cartridges are longer, they're bigger, they're heavier. And they're generally used for larger game and whatnot. The military wants to give them the smallest, lightest bullets that they can that will just do the job, because military has to carry a lot of ammunition, and you can't weigh them down with ammunition where each round is 2 to 3 times heavier than something else. So these weapons are not necessarily inherently powerful, and I like the term assault when we've really corrected that to counter-assault. Again, that is an anti-gun word, is assault weapon or assault rifle. It's counter-assault. So let's carry on with Eric Holder talking about basically lying about the violence in Mexico with the drug cartels, allegedly with American-supplied firepower. We've blown holes in this. As a matter of fact, it comes to the point where only 15% of over, I think it was 4,700 people polled, only 15% actually believe this garbage. Listen to this.
Well, as President Obama indicated during the campaign, there are just a few gun-related changes that we would like to make.
Now, I'm going to pause right there for a moment. In fact, Obama said, I don't want your handguns, I don't want your shotguns, I don't want your rifles. So that is completely false. So let's carry on with Eric Holder.
We would like to make, and among them would be to reinstitute the ban on the sale of assault weapons. I think that will have a positive impact in Mexico at a minimum. Well, it's something, as I said, that the president talked about during the campaign. There are obviously a number of things that have been taking up a substantial amount of his time. And so I'm not sure exactly what the sequencing will be. It is something, however, that we still think would be an appropriate thing to do.
So there's our Attorney General, Eric Holder, our Attorney General. He works for Obama. So Obama doesn't want to come out and say, hey, I want your guns because I told you in the in my campaign speeches that I wouldn't take them. However, here I am. I want to take them. So he's not going to come out and say that himself. What he's going to do is use Eric Holder. Now, let's continue on with his lying, misleading statements about the guns in Mexico that are allegedly coming from the U.S.
In our conversations yesterday and in a phone conversation I had with the Attorney General, I guess in the week before, that was a concern that he...
Now, he's talking in that statement about the Attorney General in Mexico that he met with. So let's carry on.
A concern that he raised about the number of illegal weapons that are finding their way to Mexico. Not only the number, but the, I guess, the caliber.
Now, let's also kick in there. All guns in Mexico are illegal for the most part. To own a gun in Mexico, you have to get permitted. You got to grease the palms of the dirty politicians there. And if you own a gun, it's got to be kept locked up in a safe at a gun range, an authorized, organized gun range. That's the law in Mexico. It's been that way since 1968. Everybody there, however, owns guns. Carrying on with Eric Holder.
Size of the weapons that you see in Mexico. ATF is doing all that it can to ensure that we stanch the flow of those weapons to Mexico. As good partners, I think that is one of the things that we have to do. If Mexican authorities, Mexican law enforcement personnel are going to put their lives on the line, we in the United States, it seems to me, have a responsibility to make sure that they are not fighting substantial numbers of weapons or fighting against AK-47s or other similar kinds of weapons that have been flowing to Mexico.
Now, I got to tell you, I was just this weekend, I spent this weekend down in southern Arizona, just south of Tucson, and not far from the Mexican border at all. As a matter of fact, where I was staying was probably, as the crow flies, not 35 miles from the Mexican border. And when I go down there, I don't know, every month or so, every several weeks, and go hang out with some folks. And I got to tell you, it's interesting, just driving around, the number of illegals that I see running around coming into this country. So Eric Holder would like you to believe that ATF is down on the border with Border Patrol. Border Patrol is trying to keep people from coming in. ATF is trying to check people going out that have guns. That is total, absolute lies. Now, I've said on this show before, I've said when I've sat in for Dave on the Dave Champion Show, that anybody who is an official of the government, any government branch, be it federal, state, whatever, and they go out of their way to falsify their statements to try to further an agenda, when that is shown to be the case, that they should be held criminally liable for that and be allowed to be arrested and criminally prosecuted for that. And if they're convicted, being as how they are within the public domain, there should be a provision where they get triple whatever sentence is handed down from any judge. So if a judge says, you know what, Eric Holder, that was absolute lies. You knew it was lies. The information was presented before you. We have all the evidence through discovery. And here's the deal. You're going to serve 2 years in prison and pay a $100,000 fine. He would now be paying $300,000 and spending 6 years in prison because, under my thought, it should be triple the sentence. So this is an outright assault. Every day they're coming out saying that this problem is an American-sponsored problem in Mexico. Here's what I would like to challenge everyone to do. Everyone who lives around the southern border, on May 5th, Cinco de Mayo, that evening, go down towards the border. Don't go across the border. Don't go into Mexico for this. You got to just go down within a mile or so of the border and listen for all of the gunfire in Mexico. I flat guarantee you, you're going to be hearing a lot of fully automatic fire. And this is not a drug war going on. This is not criminal activity as you would be believe, as they would try to have you believe. This is a bunch of Mexican citizens grabbing their guns and celebrating. So, I got to tell you, not only are the guns illegal, it's difficult to buy ammunition. However, everybody there has a gun. Everybody there gets ammunition. So, are all of these guns older than 1968 version of guns? Hell no, absolutely not. And where do they get their ammunition? It's readily available out there on the street. So even private citizens in Mexico have to deal with the black market to provide themselves any form of self-protection. So the idea that there's straw, and they have this on the NBC Nightly News, and they had a couple of guys from ATF bold-faced lying about this, a couple more guys that should be arrested and prosecuted for lying to the general public, where they're saying, oh, yeah, straw purchasers will come in to the United States. They're U.S. citizens. They'll buy guns, take them to Mexico, and the Mexicans are paying them $200 or $300 to do this. Well, I got to tell you, they are not using $1,500, $2,000 guns that you can get in gun stores. They're using stuff that they can get for a couple hundred bucks. It's coming up through the southern border or being shipped in. As a matter of fact, both the east and west coast ports of Mexico on the northern part of Mexico, east and west coast, essentially have totally lawless ports to the point where it's lawless because you can pay off the port officials to get whatever you want. Give them what they want. Hey, you know, here's a few grand and a couple of guns and a bunch of ammo for yourself. Keep your mouth shut. Oh, see, yeah, we're happy. You know, take all this stuff, load it up, and do what you will with it. Take it up north. Take it up to the border, drug cartels. They're also talking about having the Mexican military and police go in there to try and squash all these Mexican drug cartels, which is like having Mexican drug cartels go in and squash Mexican drug cartels because most of the folks who were part of them were trained in the military and or police, and the police that they have, for the most part, are on the take. Police officers and police commissioners from one end to the other get murdered by these drug cartels, and quite honestly, a lot of that murder rate is coming, as has been documented, from inside these police departments. It is a huge mass hysteria. If the war on drugs worked, if they're actually willing to do anything with the war on drugs, then we wouldn't have this trouble because there wouldn't be a demand for drugs. They wouldn't be all this backlash of violence when it comes to these drug cartels. If we were to actually just plain close the border with Mexico, secure it, close it, that's it. It is closed for even, say, a month, all right? We would probably have to have National Guard down there. I would say probably. We should have National Guard down there. Or, like the Minutemen, some actual private militia. As a matter of fact, it's interesting because Barack Obama has allegedly endorsed that. However, his ulterior motives is government-controlled. Anyhow, back on this whole Mexican border thing, just close the border. Just outright close it. Change up how you're going to do things. Nobody in, nobody out. Not across that border. You want to go in or out, you're going to have to go through a port, or you're going to have to go through the air. But we're not going to have anybody physically crossing that border for a month. We're going to close it down. That right there should give us an opportunity to then look at how things had been getting operated. We're going to block the people, and then the folks who are really intent, really hell-bent on getting across for illegal activity, we're going to see where the holes in this dike begin to leak from. Once we can find out where these holes leak from, we can plug those holes, look for additional, and so on until we actually have the border secured. Then the ports of entry could be reopened, and we could then monitor things from there. That's really the idea that I've got, which would actually help out with this stemming of bringing drugs in and keeping these illegals out. Sure, there have been some guns from the United States that have gone into Mexico, but percentage-wise, absolutely nothing compared to what they're talking about. And it's funny because they like to show pictures of fully automatic versions of guns, guns that we haven't been able to get in this country for years, rocket-propelled grenades, handheld grenades, all kinds of things, fully automatic guns that we cannot get in gun stores. what they're saying are going down into Mexico. Total BS, right? We're going to talk a little bit about what's happening in California. These a week ago Saturday, about 10 days ago, four Oakland police officers were killed by an armed felon. He killed two motorcycle officers with a handgun, then fled, ended up barricaded in an apartment, and then two SWAT officers were killed with what was allegedly an AK-47. I don't know, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. If they don't want to release what the gun is or it's not released, the press always just defaults to AK-47. It could have been, I don't know. My point being that they want to now limit, they want to serialize all magazines that have more than 10 rounds. They call them high-capacity magazines. Some dumbass state senator says the technology exists to offer serial number to each of these, and then they can be logged and serialized with the owner, and that they're doing it in other states. Okay, I don't know that that technology exists anywhere, and you tell me what state has it. Don't just come off with some line of crap, which this is. So this is supposed to stem some sort of crime. It's already illegal for this guy who killed these cops and who was killed by SWAT. He's dead now. It was already illegal for him to own a gun, to possess a gun, to even be around ammunition because he was an ex-felon. He had a handgun. He also came into possession with some form of rifle. And they're also saying, oh, yeah, it must have been cop killer bullets because the vest didn't stop the rounds. That's because he shot him in the head. That's why. So it was already illegal for him to have the guns, have the ammunition, and to shoot at cops. That's illegal, too. So you think serializing these magazines with more than 10 rounds is going to stop this sort of thing? I'm sorry, folks. That's the stupid answer. More when we return from the break.
Hello, folks. This is Bill Carnes, your host of 2A Radio. Unfortunately, due to technical difficulties, we were not able to bring you the balance of today's recorded show. We apologize.